First scripture reading this morning is from the book of Psalms, Psalm 98. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations. He has remembered his love and his faithfulness to Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp and the sound of singing, with trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn. Shout for joy before the Lord, the King. Let the sea resound and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands, let the mountains sing together for joy. Let them sing before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with equity. And our second reading is from the book of Joshua, chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests are standing, and carry them over with you and put them down at the place where you stay tonight." So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, "Go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever." So the Israelites did as Joshua commanded them. They took 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, according to the number of tribes of the Israelites, as the Lord had told Joshua. And they carried them over with them to their camp, where they put them down. Joshua set up the 12 stones that had been in the middle of the Jordan at the spot where the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant had stood, and they are there to this day. Thanks be to God for his word.
First, I want to say thank you for the invitation to be here this morning to celebrate Camp Sunday with you here at this church. And I preach at churches all across southwestern Ontario, and no one has ever done See a Humble like that before. That was incredible. We sing that song all the time at camp, but I almost never put it on my list of hymns to choose for a church because most churches can't pull it off. But you guys did it in spectacular fashion. This is a special place for sure. For those of you who don't know, Camp Kintail is a Presbyterian church camp located just 20 minutes north of Goderich. We have been there since 1929, and we have been very fortunate to have lots of staff and campers come from this church over the generations, and we are grateful for your continued support of this ministry of which we are all a part of together. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words on my lips and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our refuge. Amen. Here is a common scene that happens at the end of a week of summer camp. A camper and their parents are reunited at the closing campfire. Everyone is happy to see each other. The child is telling her mother all about the beach, the rock wall, and her counselors. And they're interrupted by friends and hugs and goodbyes. And they reach the suitcases, and the dad picks it up and gasps, saying, "What is in here? Did you pack rocks or what?" And my answer is this: probably. And I know that when this suitcase is opened at home, it will contain lots of dirty laundry, or sometimes if it's an 8-year-old boy, one set of dirty laundry and a whole stack of clean laundry. It probably has a couple of masterpieces from arts and crafts, and probably there's a pair of somebody else's socks in there. And there are lots and lots of rocks and shells from the beach. For I was a camper myself at Kintail many years ago, sponsored by the women's group at my church. And every year, I would spend hours at the beach picking up and keeping the most beautiful rocks from the water's edge, each one more special and unique from the last, all of which needed to come home with me every year. And this is still true. My bedside table, both at home and at camp, is filled with rocks. And my children are not much different from me, and so they gift me all of their special rocks as well. This instinct to pick up and to hold and to notice and mark time and place with rocks is not unique to me or to our campers. Scripture is full of such stories. The story that we did on Monday last year with our campers was the story of Sarah and Abraham and Lot going to the promised land. And when they arrived there, they piled up rocks to mark the place. There's also the story of Jacob leaving behind a rock when he wrestled with God, Jesus being called the cornerstone of the church, and Simon's name being changed to Peter, the rock. And the story we read from Joshua this morning might not be quite as familiar, but it's part of this tradition of using rocks to mark and name holy places, and it is our Monday story with our campers this year. If you recall, the people of Israel are about to enter into the promised land, to cross over the River Jordan after 40 years of wandering and wandering in the wilderness and after generations enslaved in Egypt. The first generation of people who escaped from Egypt are now gone. Moses, their leader, has died. And after so many struggles, they're finally ready to enter into the land of milk and honey. They are anxious and ready. They have been waiting and waiting and waiting for this day. The people followed the Ark of the Covenant to the river, which opened up and parted the way that it had at the Red Sea 40 years before. Finally, they were home, ready for the new life that had been promised to them. But Joshua tells them to stop. He calls one man from each of the 12 tribes of Israel back into the river to pick up a stone from the riverbed, right where the priests had stood with the Ark of the Covenant. The stones were brought to the water's edge and placed there. And Joshua says, "When your children ask in time to come, 'What do those stones mean to you?' then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off in front of the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be to Israel a memorial forever." Joshua is telling the people, stop, remember, put a pile of stones in this place, mark it and mark us so we do not forget who we are and how we got here. Joshua knows how easy it is to forget. When the Israelites had crossed the Red Sea, escaping slavery and oppression, they forgot. They forgot about the grinding work they had endured in Egypt day after day. They forgot that there was no Sabbath to rest and delight. They took the manna from God for granted, the water and fire and pillar of cloud provided by God to lead and sustain them was disregarded. The people did not remember and asked to return to Egypt. And Joshua knew that the temptations on the other side of the river would be even graver. Milk, honey, grapes, cities, sheep, graven images, wealth, and prosperity. So he made them stop, pause, and remember, and pile stones to mark the place. A physical reminder that a miracle had just happened. Stones that could be seen and touched and visited. Stones that would prompt a child to ask a parent about what they meant. Stones that allowed a story of God's grace to be relived and remembered. Because we have the benefit of seeing the whole story, we know indeed that the Israelite people did forget over time. They forgot the miracle that had happened. They forgot the God who gave them life and who parted the Red Sea and the River Jordan. They forgot the God who gave them Sabbath and creation and family. They forgot the God who loved them. Time and time again, they had to be called back to God by the judges, the priests, the prophets, and finally Jesus himself. We can't be too hard on them, as we are not much different. We forget over and over again about the great love that sustains us. We forget that we have been made in God's image and that we can also see God most clearly in the face of our neighbor. We forget to listen for the still, small voice. Recently, I was listening to an interview with a botanist and moss specialist. This doesn't sound like an interesting interview, but it really was, with Dr. Robin Wall Kimmerer. She lives just across the border in New York State and is a member of the Citizen Potawatomi Nation. Professor Kimmerer was talking about the centrality of ceremony in her culture. And she said, ceremony is the place where we remember to remember. And that thought has really stuck with me as truth. While she was talking about the religious and traditional ceremonies of her culture, I think it can also apply to all people of faith. We need time and places set aside where we remember to remember who and whose we are. We need Sunday services week after week. We need retreats. We need community gatherings because we forget so easily. We need crosses on churches. We need symbols around our necks. We need places of wonder because we forget so easily. We need piles of stone, physical reminders placed so that we and our children might ask, what do they mean? Places where we can hear the story again. We need places like this church and like Camp Kintel, places where we stop and remember, turn off our iPhones, and tell stories again. In this loud, busy world of ours, there are so many distractions and detours. Places that nourish and support, replenish and delight are necessary. They can act as the piles of stones did in ancient times. The very first children camped at Kintel in 1929. And since that time, thousands and thousands of children and young adults have spent time learning and playing and growing at Camp Kintel. In the summer, children come a week at a time living in close community with a group of 8 children and 2 counselors. They spend all their time together at the beach, at the meal table, at Bible study, at the archery range. Campers sing and dance and share and pray and grow together. There are loud moments, of course, around the campfire when we are joyfully praising God. There are also silent moments of reflection at the water's edge, contemplating the beauty of creation as we watch another sunset over Lake Huron. There are moments of sharing and giving grace to one another from camper to counselor and counselor to camper. There are moments of accomplishment, paddling a kayak for the first time, or sharing an opinion at Bible study when you've been too nervous to talk about your faith before. There are moments of connection with a chaplain or a nurse or a leader. There are moments of transcendence, a city child looking up at the stars and really seeing them for the first time. There are moments of intimacy, feeling God's presence as never before. There are moments that are hard to find anywhere else when we are running 100 miles per hour. But at camp, we take the time to remember and to connect. We pile up the moments and we hold onto those stones and remember that God is love and that we are God's delight. We need places like camp, places that are marked and named as God's special place where we can catch our breath and slow down. How easy it is to forget and how necessary it is to remember. We need to help children find their way to a pile of rocks by the River Jordan and tell them the old stories of God and God's love and make them new again. That way, they will be able to tell their children someday. They will feel part of the community and they will know that they matter. They will know that God loves them, and we all need to remember that. This has been so true in my own life. A life marked by weekly church attendance, connections in youth groups and Presbyterian Young People Society, camp was still the place where I slowed down to remember. One of the stones beside my own bed is one I picked up at the beach at Kintel when I was just 11 years old. My whole cabin was there at the beach, and our counselors asked us to find a stone that represented us. Picture a group of eight young girls crouched at the water's edge, each carefully examining and sifting through the thousands of rocks that are there. We were given time to search, and then we gathered back together, and we shared our stones and why we had chosen them. Our counselor remarked that we were all different and unique, just like these stones. She told us that each stone was crafted by God, as we were too, and that we had something special to offer to the world. That together, the beach with all its rocks was beautiful, and each one was known by God, and that we too were beautiful and known by God. She reminded us that we all have a role to play, and that the world would not be as beautiful without us. And the rock from that day, that moment, still reminds me of those truths that I need to return to over and over again. A small and simple rock from the shores of Lake Huron is part of my pile of stones that help me to remember that I am loved and precious in God's sight. And for all the rocks going home in pockets and suitcases this summer, we pray that they would also help campers to remember their worth in God's sight, to remember that they are loved, to remember that they are part of God's story, to remember that another rock was rolled aside for their forgiveness, to remember that God is always with us and will never leave us, to remember that even in the midst of trouble, God is walking beside us, to remember God's great love for each one of us. Amen.